Welcome to Star of the Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, Fed Come Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have TalkCast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions, and the call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702. Remember to bring your Chrome browser or its derivative, like Brave. Also, if you want to, you can watch me live on Twitch.tv. Just go to twitch.tv/SFUOnCall, and you will find me there. It starts around 9:30. If I'm a little late, I apologize, but you know, sometimes I have a little issues. If you need to contact me, though, for any reason, just give me a call. Send me an email at sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to reach me via Twitter, my account there is also sfuoncall. And, of course, my personal account is Paul Franz. You can find me there. You can follow me. So go to twitter.com/PaulFranz. That's PaulFranz. That's right. There is no T in that for those of you in Pennsylvania. Some quick news from A to B this week. Steve Cull was busy working on booster number 38. Also, SFB module SSJ3, Shadow of the Eagle. And, of course, the blogs. Also, Steve Petrick was, of course, busy on SFB updates, as he always is. And also module SSJ3. And also the Tholian Master Starship book. Gene was busy working on A Call to Arms Starfleet book number 2, or 2, actually, version 2.0. See, I previously proofread booster number 37. Haven't seen anything about booster number 38, so I'm assuming that she's probably working on some of that too. And I have not heard anything about the house situation with Jean and her fiance. Actually, I think he's supposed to come back. I think it's next month, I think it is. I forget when they were supposed to get married. It's going to be basically a relatively quick thing. Moving on to the SFB Online tournament, we have, of course, the Sapphire Star 2 tournament. Currently, the round one is completed. Yes, I got knocked out last week, as I had mentioned, but Peter lost. and round number two, it's the one game that has been completed, which is Seth Szymanski in the Romulan KR defeated Peter in the Neo-Tholian. And I'm assuming that he probably defeated him because he had more plasmas than I did. I was hoping I could have beat Peter, but it was a good game overall. Moving on to the SFB Online Library. Unfortunately, there's no progress for this week, but the complete conversion still stays at 2,519, with yet to be converted to 811. The percent complete still stays at 75.65%. And with that is news for this week. And that's me, as the one and only Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, well, you got me, you got Barry. Dave is around. He's doing the reload dance at the moment to try to get to listen to my melodious voice. And also, I'm currently streaming over at Twitch. Hi. So you can watch me there and also interact with me. I will be in the chat room and be happy to talk to you there also. So, and hi, Barry.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, doing good. Up yourself,
man. Yeah. Okay. So, let's see. I'm trying to get the Iridani. Yeah. Okay. I've got all my PDFs open and stuff like that.
So. Yeah, I grabbed your PDFs and I'm looking at the one and gonna be interesting. Oh, before we start, real quick, just a reminder, because I forgot to put this in the news portion for those people listening to the podcast. We will not be doing a show next week because next week is Thanksgiving. So no show for next week. So
right.
Enjoy all the turkey or whatever you do, whatever you eat on Thanksgiving, but hopefully you enjoy your time with your families. So with that, we will move on to the Iridani.
Well, I never created a ship for it, and I the list of Ken Burnside ships that I was given did not. He never made one either, so I didn't have a model for it. But I'm looking at the 03 SSD book, and I guess the closest one for a tournament cruiser would be the Galleon, I'm guessing.
Let me check. Which one did I choose? I chose the Clipper, but it's possible the Galleon might be a better one. The only reason I chose the Clipper is mainly because of one thing that I totally forgot about the Iridani is they have modules.
Yes, they do.
And I totally forgot about that. And the Clipper is one of the few that actually shows you what kind of modules there are.
Yeah, so is the Galleon.
The Galleon does too? A tugboat, there's a sloop, man of war, baroque, brigantine, yawl, galleon.
Oh, I guess we could. Yeah, I guess we could use the Clipper. Yeah, the Clipper might work.
Yeah, I think here's the only reason I think the Clipper might be a better idea for a tournament cruiser. I understand, Lord knows, that it's already considered a 142 BPV ship, which is a little higher than most. But I'm looking at these freaking firing arcs. Have you looked at the
firing
arcs?
Tell me about it.
For this ship.
Yeah, actually, you're right. The Clipper might be a better one to go with. And then you probably want to put a weapons module in it.
Oh, yes. Oh, definitively. That will give it additional 2 360 wide phasers and one phaser one,
Right, so, right. So yeah, the Galleon actually has two modules, but less weapons, so but I think you can go either way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. The firing arcs are just bizarre.
Oh, agreed. Because, for those who are not watching the video, so they won't see this, and that is that, you got the Febs. Now, two of the Febs are left arc and right arc. So they can't hit directly forward or directly backwards.
Nope.
Not even most of the FA arc. But then we have two Febs. One is a left front left and a right front. Another one, which is a right front right. So to say the very least, if you want to hit somebody, you have to approach them on the oblique. At best, most probably, if you even go past the oblique, you're still in gold.
Right.
Because of these crazy arcs.
Mm-hmm. Your target illuminators.
Right.
Have L and R.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Oh. We're gonna get into talking about that, makes things quite interesting. Interesting in my mind that displacement device makes things interesting. Though, obviously displacement device can move a ship. This
The Target Illuminator is not as powerful as you would think it is, though.
Yes. Oh, agreed. It's definitely something that's better at longer ranges, I think, because of. Okay, let's go for it. Let's explain what the Target Illuminator does.
You basically put one point of power into it, and it can be reserve or it can be allocated, and it cannot be held. And then you, during one impulse during the turn, you pick a target, and all your weapons fired at that target, that impulse, have minus one on their die roll.
Right, and that's both the Febs. And also the phasers.
The phasers.
Right, both of them. Which is the first thing was like a shocker to me.
Right, but think about it. The focused energy beam, first of all, it's a two die roll.
Right.
So it's less important.
Mm-hmm.
And the phaser W's are much less sensitive to the die roll than regular phasers.
Right. Agreed.
So that's why I say, yes, it does help, but it's not as, it would be much more effective on a ship armed with, say, photons or something else.
Oh, agreed. Okay, and here's the worst thing about the Target Illuminator. It's when it is activated. That's the worst thing. Because according to the rules, it is activated in any impulse just after the SFG step of the seeking weapons stage of impulse activity. Now, given that means way before you even want to decide to fire your weapons. You've basically just announced to everyone concerned, I'm firing weapons. Because.
Yes and no.
Well, okay, yeah, yes and no, but here's the thing. You only can use it once a turn.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to using only once a turn, it only lasts for one impulse.
Right.
So. You can fire it and kind of use a kind of fake out maneuver. That's the word I'm using. I'm looking for faking them out.
Right.
You know. Hi Dave. Yeah. He's over on Twitch.
Well, now here's the thing. You have two of them, and if we use the yaw or the galleon instead, you have three of them. That means you could use it as a fake and not fire it and fire another TI the next impulse.
True. And in theory, you have two TIs, so you can actually fire both of them in a single turn. Because they're both of them are left. And our left-right arc.
Unless you want to do a hack and slash. In which case you could fire your weapons, do a high energy turn to bring more in arc and fire again. And then you'd need both TIs, so you'd have to be in.
Well, yeah, but definitely.
You couldn't use it for
the two TRs could definitely work with a hack and slash. It, obviously, you have to be careful about that because you only can fire a TI just like any other weapon within a quarter turn of each other.
Right.
So you couldn't use both TIs at the end of the turn.
Right.
The last eight impulses.
Yeah. Well, you could fire one and then the following impulse fire another. But then you have to wait till end of turn and eight impulses from the first one before you can fire again.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And as I said, it helps, but it's not required.
Now, of course, here's the thing.
Yeah.
I don't think we'd ever want to do this, but obviously we have to play it out just to find out how it works and how well
Yeah.
the Clipper does with the weapons module.
Right.
Because one thing in
Or the Galleon with two weapons modules.
Yeah. Let me go back to the Galleon. There it is. Okay, give me that. Whoops. There. Let me just do a quick look-see at this ship. Because we have three TIs. It's worth less, probably because of it's got less hull.
Right. It also has two less phasers.
Right.
Oh no, it doesn't. It's got it, but it's got instead of the 360s, it's got one LLR and one RRR phaser.
Yeah. That would be
So,
interesting. Because, hold it.
and it has a second module. That's,
What's the difference between that and the Clipper?
well,
Power.
the Clipper has better phaser arcs on two of the phasers, and it has an extra module.
Yeah, it's got
And the
32.
Clipper
Clipper
also has
has 32
the
warp.
shuttle bays are split, whereas, or sorry, the Galleon, the shuttle bays are split,
Right.
whereas in the Clipper they're not.
Okay, 32, 36, 40. So the Clipper has 40 points of power.
Plus what's in the weapons module.
Right, which is an additional two, so that'd be 42 points of power would be the Clipper
Yeah,
versus the
I think
Galleon.
I think you're at 44.
That'd be 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Okay, 10 and 1, 2, 5, 6, 7, 8, 16, 26 warp for the Galleon. 30.
It 30 because we always normalize the
Understood,
30.
but okay, let's just start with what's here. 26, 30, 34. Say you got two weapons modules, that'd be a total of 38. So to start off with, it only have 38 if we want to boost it up by two. So it has 40, right?
Well, for doing tournament cruisers for every one of these, remember that Omegas are always have less warp than Alphas. So I always gave them 30 warp for the one cost moving cost one ships. Basically tournament standard. So let's see, the Clipper would have no, they actually with the weapons module, the Clipper actually the Galleon has two more power.
No.
So the Clip with one
Right.
there's 40 power on the Clipper and 42 on the Galleon.
No, there isn't. Without the modules.
Well, I'm talking with the modules,
With the modules,
with the two weapons
the Clipper
modules.
has 42.
42?
Because you
Hang
got
on.
8, you got
It's got.
16, and 16. So you start with 32 warp to begin with.
It
Then
only
you.
has one module,
Right.
30 warp,
No, 32
four
warp.
impulse, four upper.
Clipper? No. No. Barry?
Oh, I would drop it down to 30 warp.
Yeah, but.
Oh.
As I said, we're starting with what we would normally do.
Oh, I didn't see that.
It starts with 32, then it goes.
Oh, okay. So 32.
So it starts with fast warp.
Well, in that case, yes. That's a fast ship. I did not realize that. Okay.
That's what it's designed for.
Huh.
Would be my guess.
Well, in that case, yeah, 32, yeah, 40 power total. Interesting. Okay. So maybe the Clipper might be the one to go for.
Yeah, because it, you know... We were going to raise it from 28 up to 30, and this one's already at 32, so leave it at 32. Because why bring it down?
Yeah.
And it's like,
right?
Why would you cut the Saltorian?
Yeah, so, yeah, I agree. I just didn't realize it had that much warp.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, yeah, 40 power with weapons module.
42 with weapons module.
And it's got... decent phaser arcs for the 32, well, it's got the 2 360s.
Yeah, Barry, it's 42 with the weapons module.
So
the Clipper does 32 plus 4 impulse plus 4 APR.
And, yes, 42 with the weapons module. Yes.
Yep.
Yes, you're right.
So it's got a decent amount of power.
Now the FE. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. The FEBs are kind of like disruptors in that they cannot be held.
Right.
But it could be allocated to reserve power.
Right.
They cannot be overloaded.
Right.
And they take 3 points of power.
Right. Now, there's one thing that I saw, which
was the bizarre thing.
Yep. And you're going to hit it.
Is the phaser caps. They can use the phaser caps.
Yep, that's exactly what I was going to mention.
But to tell you the truth, that's almost. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, I understand. I know where you're going to go for it, which is normally you don't want to tap those phaser caps because of the phaser capacitors aren't actually made larger because of the FEBs.
Right.
So that it's going to require 3 points from your phaser capacitor to fire one of these. So that means there's three phasers you can't fire.
Right. Which, unless you recharge them from some other source.
Batteries. But of course,
which at that point it's moot. Why would you?
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Why would you even do that?
Right. Why would you actually?
So they put that in there, and it's like, it's like, oh, that's a meaningless rule.
That's weird. Well, I guess what you might want to do, what comes to that, is to in case of emergencies. Where, listen, that is that you fired your phasers. They haven't cycled around, but you have a FEB available to fire. So instead of waiting for your phasers to cycle, when you're in position, you're like range two, you use that 3 points of power that's in your capacitor to fire your FEB at that point.
Yeah.
So I understand that normally you wouldn't use it. But in that case where there's that opportunity occurs, you would then use it.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, the funny part is that... All I was going to say was that...
Go ahead.
When it comes to the damage chart, it reminded me more of fusions than disruptors. Obviously, charging wise, it's more like disruptors.
Yeah. Right.
Because unlike.
Yeah, I guess it's.
I think it's. Well, because of its, you know, even though it's using 2d6, so it's not as wildly crazy that can occur with a fusion beam. But yeah. and of course the big thing here is that the ranges of course are different than a fusion beam too. But the reason why you remind me of fusion beam was just because
it is a little longer range than a
right. But you know the big thing was that it was variable based on a die roll instead of a to hit like a disruptor is.
Yeah. Right. Now the other thing about the focused energy beam is that it has a delay between firings of 16 impulses, which makes it more like a fusion beam than other weapons.
Hmm. Did not realize that. That's what we got.
Yeah.
I must have
16 missed impulse delay.
Yeah, half a turn. Dang.
Yeah. So you're right to compare it to a fusion beam.
Yep. Though fortunately, unlike a fusion beam, you can fire it every turn. So it's not like a fusion beam in that you have to wait for a one-turn cooldown, which is a good thing.
Right, and this kind of splits the difference.
Yeah, because
it's a 16-impulse delay.
Yeah, you have four Febs, four of them. You know, and
well, Hydrants have four fusions, and the Hydrant Tournament Cruiser has four fusions and two Hellborns.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's got more weapons than this thing.
Yeah.
See that's
and the fusions on the Hydrant are LFL and RFR. So yeah.
Yep. Yeah, because here's the one thing that I was contemplating. But you know, obviously, first if we want to add this to the tournament, we have to test this out. We have to make sure that how bad is this?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But here's the one thing because I think you might be knowing where I'm going. Depending upon how it goes, there is the possibility. As crazy as it might sound. To turn it into like a hydrant, in that instead of a weapons module, it takes the carrier module.
Oh, a carrier module.
Yep. That's one way of increasing.
I don't think you'd want to put.
Well, not a full half. Yeah, not a full half squadron. I'm not saying you give them all the fighters.
Yeah.
Just like Hydras don't get their full fighters, full complement. Yeah, because I'm pretty sure that based off the Lord Marshal, the Tournament Cruiser, and I'm pretty sure that it takes more than just two fighters for Lord Marshal.
Yes. It does. Not as many as the Ranger, but more than the
Now, obviously, what is it?
Yeah, Dragoon, I think.
Yeah, I think maybe it's the Dragoon. The one that's pure fusions. Because the one that's pure fusions, yeah, that has the full complement of fighters.
That's the Ranger, yeah.
Yeah, the Ranger, yeah, that's it. That has like, half a squadron. And I'm not saying that we should give this one half a squadron. But, again.
Well, it's, I'm it's, looking, it, hang on. Let's see, where are the
The fighters?
hang on. Yeah, I'm looking for that. Fighter Addicts, 380, 411. 411. Iridani. Oh, that's fast patrol. Okay. Rotate left.
Yeah, I don't see any of the fighters.
I'm looking for it.
Yeah, I know there was a description in the Omega Master Rulebook, but I didn't really look into it because of it wasn't until.
Okay, Eridani Questers shuttles. You, oh my God, there's a crap load of them. You've got an S1, an S1A, an S2, an S2A, an S2B, an S2E, an S3, an S3E.
Well, come on. Well, there's
An S.
a good collection of fighters for any empire.
I would give it the SFA.
Oh, where are you find where did you find the fighters?
Page 418 on the PDF.
You mean the rule book?
Yes, the
Okay.
Omega Master Rule Book.
Four eighteen, right?
Yeah.
Four eighteen, like here it is. Okay, Warbs, Singers, Rin. Oops. No, it's not 418 for me. There it is. Okay, it's on 417 for me. Okay, and
Okay.
you choose an S3, is that what you're saying? Which is one wide phaser,
The
one fib.
SFA is at SFA, two wide
Okay.
phasers and an FEB.
Yeah. That'd be good. That's about.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's less than a sting, too.
Oh yeah. Oh, agree. Especially it
It's
doesn't
less than a
have
sting.
that Gatling. Yeah.
Well, it's got half the phasers and half the heavy weapons.
Right. And speed is 14.
And
Yeah.
a little tougher. It's a
Yeah,
little
damage is 20,
slower.
takes 12.
But it's got half. What's that? Yeah,
Takes
but
12 points of power.
it dishes out about half the damage. And I don't know how many charges it, or how often it can fire the FEB. I'm guessing it only has one charge.
Yeah, we'd have to look at that because it probably have to, my
You
guess.
might want to give it the full six fighters. Yeah, maybe not all six, maybe four of them.
Yeah, see that's the great thing about fighters, that if we decide that the normal weapons module doesn't work, one thing we can do is put the fighter module in, add fighters, and then tweak them. How let's start with
Yeah.
three or start with four.
Yeah.
Is that too much? Tweak it back.
Right.
See, that's one thing I've always
Yeah. Now, obviously, we'd have to pull the tractors out of weapon or carrier module.
Why? Why would
Two tractors for tournament cruisers. If you left them in there, it would have four tractors.
Yeah, so I don't see that as a big deal. I really don't.
Oh.
How often do you actually have a
Oh, okay.
problem with running out of tractors? I mean, really, how often do you?
Well, it certainly helps when you're facing drones.
Correct. But again, as we've had this discussion before, which is how many seeking weapon races are there in Mega that can put out a bunch of missiles? I mean, a ton of them.
That's true. Yeah. Well, the Quixa that you were talking about could do a lot.
That is true. That is true. But again, it's one of those.
Mazarans are pretty. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
they're few and far between.
So the FEB is yes, I'm looking at the FEB and going, that's a meh weapon. It's not anything great to write home about. The phaser Ws are meh. They're not even as good as an Alpha phaser. So I'm not seeing this as a very powerful ship.
Which is one of the reasons to think about change it to be a carrier.
Giving it fighters.
Giving it fighters.
Yes, I agree.
Which would definitely, that
It
would make
sure would
things
need them.
quite interesting.
Yeah.
Because
Yeah.
we're not talking about full
I hadn't
carrier
thought
here
of
with a
that, but
whole
you're
12,
absolutely right.
you know, we're not talking about full carrier with a full 12 fighter squadron here. No, we're talking more about
Right.
the level of a Hydran, where he's got a couple of fighters, and those fighters can be nasty.
Yeah.
And possibly, you know,
Now, one other thing to keep in mind is look at the breakdown rating.
there's a that's just barely, I'm just ever so slightly better than auxiliary battle cruiser, a Wynn auxiliary battle cruiser. Just a tiny, tiny
Correct.
bit.
And it pro in that it also has the head bonus.
Right.
So, but the first head is still roll a die.
Roll a
It's
die.
not an automatic. And with
You got
turn
it.
mode D, it's.
Yeah, that means, yeah. So that means that you've got a two-thirds chance of succeeding. Is that one of those things that you do lightly? Of course, at the same time, I've seen people like Mr. Bakia do two hits, where I don't think he really needed to do the second hit, but he did it anyway. He felt like he needed to, and but he
Yeah.
succeeded, so it didn't matter. The only would have mattered is if he would of rolled that one third, rolled the five or the six, and it would just puke right there, and then I'd win.
Yeah.
Still
Yeah, this
disagree
one,
with him
if you
doing
roll a
that, you
six
know,
on your
but
first hit, you're what's that?
I still disagree that he did that, you know. To me, that was taking a chance that he
Yeah.
really didn't need to do. But, you know, hey, it turned out for him. So, well, what is it? Geez. There is a baseball manager that, depending upon the day, I'm either an idiot or I'm a genius. You can do the same thing. It all depends on how it turns out. If it turns out, then you're a genius. If it doesn't turn out, then you're an idiot. You know, you could have done exactly the same thing. It's just the result.
Yeah. Yeah, so this ship, I don't know. You know, the fighters might make it viable.
Right, exactly. Because the big issue that the Clipper has is range. Really. Because okay, let's back up here. Just back up this for a moment. Okay. Currently, if you stay at range and you are a good aerodynamic, and in that you try to keep your opponent on the left or on the right, which is, again, it's a strange situation to do.
Yeah.
I mean, you can keep your you can have a down front shield and it wouldn't matter. Down shield number one, it wouldn't really matter that much.
Right.
Because that's not what you're firing out of. But anyhow,
Yeah.
so okay, let's say each turn, not each turn, because 9 points of power is a lot of power, which is another reason why you'd want the Clipper. So it has the 42 points of power. If you get into,
Yeah.
let's say range four.
Well, 40 with the carrier module.
But
Forty with the carrier module.
oh, understood. But let's not go with carrier first. Let's say we're going to go with the weapons, the normal weapons module to start off with. Okay? Because
Okay, 42, yeah.
first have to determine that truly it can't win, or it's too degraded, too weak to fly using the weapons module. And in that case, you've got what?
Yeah.
You'll probably have like five phaser ones that you can fire and three Febs each turn. That's about what you'll see. You know, yes, you can get some more in there by when you move around, but to get a single shield, that's gonna be that. It's gonna be the five phaser ones and the three Febs. So for one battle pass, you can hit a shield for
Interesting.
that. Now, given that, wow. At range four, you've got around a five, I'd be willing to give it maybe six, average of 6 points. And it's always hard to tell exactly what the average is for a 2D6. But I'm gonna the seven to nine
Right.
range, seven
But
to,
remember that you also have the TI.
right.
That
Okay.
helps.
Okay, so let's boost that up to this. Let me look. Okay, let's boost it up to seven. We'll say 7 points per. If we can get
Yeah.
average of 7 points per, that's 21 points of
Yeah, well.
damage at range four. As if you get into range four, because
Yeah.
you're not gonna be fighting at long
Right.
range. Now, this is
Yeah. And
if
that's for 9 points of energy.
right now the number one thing here is, of course, is that this is
Which
it.
is not bad.
Right. Oh, agreed. Now, here's the one thing, which is it has no seeking weapons. It has nothing. Now, this is without the fighters. It has
Right.
nothing to distract your opponent.
Yeah.
Basically, it's a Centaurian. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's got a good punch, or an average punch, but it has nothing to distract the other ship. So there's no missiles, no nothing like that.
Right.
So I say that because that makes it harder to get into position. You know, because the great thing about having a seeking weapon is that you can force your opponent to change directions, to move, possibly even have it so that you can chase him. So,
yeah,
you're on this ship. Your opponent.
Well, here's another thing.
Your opponent's not gonna. It's not gonna turn away from you. He's gonna head right in. You're gonna be the person gonna be turning away, if especially if they have seeking weapons. Well, continue. What about
if you gave it? If you used the galleon instead of the clipper, and gave it one weapons module, one carrier module.
Understood. Let me look at that one. Okay, so let's give it the 40. Let's give it the 40. And the weapons module.
Yep.
Okay, that gives you 4 phaser ones to fire. So it's left. The only thing that obviously the fighter.
That's 7 total P1s. Yeah. 2 P3s. And then, or actually 3 P3s, because the carrier module has one.
Mm-hmm.
And 4 fighters. That might be a way to go.
That definitely would be interesting. But again, we have to test it without the fighters, because I think the fighters bring an interesting aspect to it. But at the same time, I don't think I'd have to double check the history of Iridani, but I don't think the Iridani are as well known for their fighters. Hydrans, that is the way they fought.
Right.
That was an integrated part of the Empire. Part of their ship design. So,
yeah.
In my mind, the reason to use fighters at all is to, because of, without the fighters, it's too weak.
And
that's one thing that have to be tested out. We'd have to test it out, make sure that without the fighters, it's just too weak. And obviously, here's the one thing that I would never try to do with this ship. I wouldn't try to add extra weapons, because the problem is the weapons that it has, the Febs, they're too power hungry. You know?
Well, but here's the thing. Adding more Febs is not a bad idea because of the firing arcs of them. You can't use them all anyway.
True.
So, and with the 16 impulse delay, it's like, oh, okay, I'll use the ones on the right side of the ship, and then the next turn I'll use the ones on the left side of the ship, except that
at the same time, currently, of the 4, you can, whether you're left or you're right, because you're not going to be straight ahead. Straight ahead, you've got nothing. Straight ahead, if you go center line, you got 2. Off center line, you got 1.
Right.
So you would never be approaching that way. Off on the sides, of those 3 out of the 4 Febs are in arc.
Yes.
So it's not like half your weapons can't fire. 1/4 of your weapons won't be able to fire.
That's true.
It's more along the lines of a Tholian, Archaeotholian. Yep.
Unless you put doubled up on the LFLs and the RFRs.
Right. Well, yeah. that's a possibility. But, you know,
Yeah.
I hate tweaking. I'd have to look at the results of the initial playtest to even contemplate that. Yes, there's a possibility. I see there is a possibility of adding two Febs, one left front left, and one right front right. That I see because of the arcs involved.
Keep in mind that I think I added what was the race,
Empire.
the spider race.
Empire.
What's that? The arachnids.
Empire. You might have to duck.
Empire, sorry. Yeah.
Otherwise, the flying frying pan of death
What's that? Oh.
from Gene.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes. What was the
Incoming!
empire that had the what's that?
Incoming! Duck.
Was it empire or race, I'm supposed to say?
Empire.
Empire. I said empire.
I know.
Okay. So what was the empire
But you originally said
with
race, so.
the spiders? What's that?
Originally you said race. That's all. The
Yeah,
spiders.
but Empire. What was
Empire, that was the
the
spiders.
spiders? What was that Empire?
Oh my Lord. That's a
Yeah.
good question. And fine. Let me do that's okay. No. Bari?
Bari, that's it.
Yeah,
Bari.
Bari are a species of intelligent
So
arachnids.
Yes. So originally their ship came with five particle beams. I actually had to add a sixth to make it possible. Now, to give you an idea, if you remember, the particle beam is like a weaker version of the stealth particle cannon.
Right.
It can fire overloaded twice in a turn with an 8-impulse delay. But
Grr.
it's less accurate and does less damage than a Seltorian particle cannon, which is even less powerful than a disruptor. So it needed six. And even then, it was kind of like, eh.
But definitely,
So putting two extra FEBs on there.
Yeah, the one thing that definitely makes things makes this ship interesting, or the Empire itself, is just the way that the arcs are designed. Reminds me more of a Britannia
Right.
ship overall. You know, where
Right. Yes.
you are
The simulator
required,
race where it
right?
was truly.
Thanks, Dave. He's also
Well, yeah, this is definitely a broadside race, which actually has some interesting flavor to it.
Oh, agreed. Agreed. Which is I think that's one of the things that makes it interesting. You know,
Yeah.
that's to say the very least, when it comes to the Omega Empires, Bruce did his best to introduce a variety of empires with a variety of technologies and different ships' designs. No longer going along the normal cookie cutter designs that plagued
Oh, absolutely.
a
That's
lot
one of
of
the things I
the
like
alpha,
about it.
you know?
Yeah.
Because,
Yeah.
and I'm not sure if you remember how there were screams about cookie cutterness. especially with the latter R modules.
Oh yeah.
Jeez, like this Empire had new heavy war destroyers. Oh, that means everybody has to have heavy war destroyers. It's like, no, they don't. To me, that was always the goofiness thing.
The United States has heavy carriers, but nobody else. I think Britain might have one, mm-hmm. France might have one, but nobody else has any.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the Chinese have, because I know they got a carrier from the Russians, didn't they?
Yeah.
Well, I don't.
Well, I don't think the Russians have any heavy carriers.
Yeah, the Russians aren't really carry crazy like the Americans are.
They're not. We are.
All right, but that was one of those things that always I thought was kind of interesting about the Gorns. Got the heavy destroyers. The you have your of course your light cruisers, your heavy cruisers, and then got the Zinni like medium cruisers, medium war cruisers. You know.
Oh, I know. It was insane.
Well, see, I don't, to be honest, when it comes to that kind of thing, I don't mind that. It's when it was got to the cookie cutterness that, okay, we have to be able to have a duel between the two different empires. Like, no, you don't. That was one of those crazy things about the Klingons. That they're quote unquote frigate. They're F5 frigate. Really wasn't a frigate. The F5 frigate was actually more of a destroyer when it comes to BPV. But you still named it a frigate.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's the thing that, you know, that drove me crazy with the office. And that's one thing that definitely is not the case for the Omega Empires, because you could say that these are two cruisers. That's fine. You can call them cruisers all you want. They might not be equal. You know, if they try to fight each other.
Right.
One's got a definitive advantage. The whole rock, paper, scissors thing, where there's no way it's gonna win. Now, if you put it against the frigate or the destroyer of the other empire, you got a fighting chance.
Well, keep in mind that traditionally, a cruiser was not designed as a ship to normally that you would throw into a battle. A cruiser was something that was designed for long-range reconnaissance. Now, I guess the armored cruisers were, you know, it was armed reconnaissance. That's what they were.
Mm-hmm.
If you knew you were going to get into... You didn't send them into a battle. You sent your battleships into a battle, or maybe your battle cruisers. But if you had a cruiser actually in a battle, it was oops. Or now destroyers were actually designed for battles, but they were more they weren't designed to. In fact, destroyers in World War II were actually pretty deadly because they had torpedoes, a lot of them. So
right.
They could a squadron of destroyers could actually have a hope against a battleship, because at long range outside the battleship's guns, they might score a torpedo hit, and torpedoes are devastating.
Oh, understood. For people who... I haven't been watching the channel, the talk show too much, but Russ has been doing, I can't wait. Actually, he sent me an initial video and I've neglected in watching it, and I really should, because of some of the things that Russ has done, which is really, really cool stuff. And I'm not going to bring it up because it's in my email. But I want to add it into the YouTube channel. I have to look to see what it is. Actually, one thing I'm just bringing up that Russ did is that he's saying he's making the final copy of the first, basically, my game against Peter. And one thing I'm actually gonna have to need to do actually is I gotta stop saying actually. But what I'm gonna need to do is review it and look at it and make sure that it's correct. I feel pretty confident that Russ has got it all correct, but at the same time, there is the possibility that there's some things that need to be tweaked. But overall, what I've seen in the previous things that Russ has done is actually really, really cool. And I can't wait to see it. And even David says that it's Russ's videos were is worth it.
Oh, did you see the big news yesterday?
SpaceX news?
SpaceX. What's that?
SpaceX
SpaceX news, yes. I've been talking about their Starship, and they're building Mark 1 at Boca Chica, Texas, Mark 2 at Cape Canaveral. Well, these are prototypes. Mark 3, they've just started construction. I mean, or they're building the components to build construction for Mark 3, Boca Chica. And Mark 4 is about the same progress at Cape Canaveral. So Mark 1 was going to go for a test flight either late this year or early, first quarter next year. That was the furthest along of these four prototypes. And they were pressure testing, I guess, Mark 1 yesterday.
Ego boom.
And they had a it well yeah basically it didn't they only had oxidizer in there. They did not have fuel, so it didn't explode or anything, but the top bulkhead shot off and probably went a good 150 meters into the air.
Right. And I heard that they basically said, okay, that was an older design, so they were just going to retire that prototype from use and use one of the newer design prototypes.
Well, it was only they were only planning on ever using it one for one flight, and it's like, okay, well, no. Not even worth repairing.
Right, exactly. But
But yeah.
should be interesting to see them getting into space, SpaceX is really, really
Oh,
pushing hard.
absolutely. They are. Yes.
Well, I think with that, Barry, we will wrap this up for this evening. It's been a
I
pleasure
think that's
talking to
good.
you about what Empire do you want to talk about next time? There's
Well, you had mentioned the Quixta, which is a possibility.
There's one.
Another one to
Okay,
think
continue.
about was the Sigvirans.
Oh yeah. Actually, one thing I was just thinking of because I saw them while I was scrolling. I'm not, which is they looked interesting ship to me. The hopefully I'm going to pronounce this correctly. Nematurin Turian.
The what?
It's Yematrian.
Oh, the
Yes, Nematurian. Yeah.
Yeah. In some ways, they're kind of like the Worm, but they're smaller ships. They don't have the subspace energy fields, and they don't have the subspace torpedoes. But they have their anti-proton phasers. And their anti-proton, what was it,
Beams.
beams and lances are identical to the warbs. In fact, I think the warbs stole their technology.
They did.
Yeah.
So you think basically it'd just be a repeat with what we discussed with the warbs.
Yeah,
Okay.
except I like the warbs better.
Understood.
That's why I looked at them and went, meh.
Okay, then we can go with Quixa.
Yes, Quixa works. Or
Okay.
the Sigvirin, which actually does have a tournament cruiser that I made. But
Okay, well, why don't we start
although, to tell
with
you the truth, is
yeah.
but the Quixa could work because the Quixa I haven't looked at enough, but they may actually be viable. I don't know.
Okay, yeah, I like to go with Quixa first.
Okay, we'll do the Quixa next time.
Okie
Yeah, have a good Thanksgiving.
dokie. Okay, you too. See you in 2 weeks, I think. Okay,
See you in two.
bye-bye.
Right.
So, had a nice little discussion about the Iridani. It should be interesting if we can create a nice tournament cruiser and test it out. Obviously, one of those things that really makes the Iridani different and unique is the battle tactics involved. Because two critical things. Number one, their weapons don't fire forward. They mostly fire to the sides, so you're never going to be trying to center line it against your opponent. What you're going to be doing is you're trying to get your opponent to your right or your left. And to be honest, I don't think any opponent is going to is going to have a chance when it comes to avoiding that. Now, obviously, it makes things kind of interesting in that you those side phase those side shields will come be destroyed pretty quick, but at the same time, you can switch between the two. You go, turning this way versus turning that way, as I described about my battle against Peter last week, or maybe the week before, possibly both. But anyway, and of course, the other thing, which is the one thing that was noted, which is breakdown. You're not, this is this. We thought the Gorn was the tug. No, the Gorn has a tug. Yeah, it's turn mode D, just like the Iridani has a turn mode T. But you really can't het. As I would love to find out what are the breakdown things. Does the module become unhinged and all of a sudden it's floating in space, and that's one of the reasons why you would not want to even attempt to do a het at all. It's definitely the ships weren't designed for maneuverability in mind. And what's the worst case about the ships, of course, as it was mentioned, is there are no seeking weapons. It's got an awful turn mode. The Clipper has some good power, has no really awful, awful, awful turn mode, and it has no seeking weapons. So it can't make up for it, up for the maneuver problem with maneuverability by using their seeking weapons to keep your opponent off guard. Because that was one thing I was able to do with my TKE against the Neo-Tholian. I had seeking weapons, so even though I had a hard time getting around, and I was able to launch torpedoes. And that really, really helped me, and when I finally started to launch them. And since the Iridine doesn't have that ability, that's one of the reasons why we were even discussing the fighters. Because with the fighters, now you have seeking weapons. Now, obviously, as I pointed out, one of the biggest things there is that it's not actually part of the Iridani's DNA. It's not like the Hydrans, where fighters are an integral part of every single ship that they made, almost, except for the smaller ones, like the frigates and so forth. But almost every single ship had a launch tube for fighters. That's the way the Hydrans were designed. That is an inherent design of the ships that made them Hydran. Eridani, for the most part, that's not the case. That's why the fighters can be added as part of a module. Of course, the Eridani are kind of interesting in their empire. They have to be on a quest, and things like that. So, should make things interesting to see if we can actually work on it and maybe imbalance it some. I think that'd be kind of cool to do. Obviously, if we can do it without the fighters, that'd be great. You maybe add a couple Febs that might do the job. And again, if we were to add weapons, I think maybe two Febs, as the left front left, a right front right. I think that would work. But again, we'd have to see how would it fare. We shouldn't even really be talking about how we're going to adjust the ship before we actually even play test it to see where are the deficiencies. So, with that, I am going to first wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your time with your families. If you're inside the United States, outside the United States, have a wonderful Thursday. I will be off. I'll be visiting my own family. My brother just moved into a new place, and we're going to be going to his new place for Thanksgiving, and it should be interesting. I'm not even exactly sure what we're going to be bringing this year. We have to figure out something. And with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.